All right, let's get started. Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Elizabeth and I am an alcoholic. We'll start with a little housekeeping. You can virtually raise your hand to be recognized using the raise hand button. We encourage you to be aware of how you're presenting yourself online. These Zoom meetings are essentially open to the public. Note that you can click the video stop and start button to toggle your camera on and off. We will be recording and publishing only the audio portion of this meeting to the simpleactions.net website. During tonight's meeting, you will be able to send chat messages to the host only. That will be myself, Malcolm, and David. Finally, I will post a link in the chat pod for online giving. We will mention these later when we do the chat. First, we join. Let's open the meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to, if you need numbers or help connecting, so chat to one of the hosts and we'll be able to help you with that. Do we have any newcomers? All right, the preamble, Alcoholics Anonymous. That's not it. Okay, I'm just going to read it. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they help solve the problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a drinking. There are fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting. AA is not allied with any denomination, not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation sessions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step two, and our panel is Mike M. and Dan C. I will read the first paragraph, which is on page 45, and the panel will share for a few minutes each of the reading.
Okay.
All right. Page 45. Step two, came to be that a power than ourselves could restore us to sanity. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made it clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you are honestly watching, to find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably an alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist, it seems impossible. To continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed by an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not all the alternatives to face. It isn't so difficult. About half of our fellowship were exactly of that. At first, some of us, hoping against hope, we were not alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis for having to be that way with you. Something like half thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience, you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a more better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will things with all our might, but the needed power was there. Our human resources, as by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. All right, Mike, who would like first?
You go ahead, Mike.
I got to reacquaint myself with the Zoom buttons. It's also weird being naked from the bottom half down. Hey, everybody, I'm Mike Midget. I'm a recovered alcoholic. For those of you that were here last week, I apologize. You're going to hear my little brief story again, just so I can relate. And you know, I'm an alcoholic before I start sharing on the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date is February 14th, 2017. No, I did not know it was Valentine's Day. There was nothing cute about it. I was fresh off putting a gun in my mouth, and that's about it. It happened to be that day. I have a home group. It's the Sandbridge group. We are a big book study. We meet Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. down in Sandbridge. Any of y'all want to make the drive? Come on. It's a nice, peaceful drive. I have a service position. I'm the treasurer at my home group. And I have a sponsor who knows he's my sponsor. I call him every day. He has a sponsor. I have been gifted by God with the ability to sponsor men as well. And that continues to save my life. I have a firm belief, and this is my opinion. You won't find it in the big book anywhere, that I was born this way. I did not randomly become an alcoholic. Since I was a little kid, I always wanted more, more, more. Nothing was ever good enough. I can fill my alcoholic tendencies with anything, with violence, with fear, with any kind of emotion, any kind of stealing. It all gives me the more, 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 and I can't stop once I start. When I was a young child, when I was 8 years old, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. Back then it was a little different. She sat on a bed dying. They told her she was going to die every day. And, you know, that is when my older brother found his solution, and he gave it to me. That solution wasn't alcohol yet. It was something else, but that's part of my story, and that continued throughout my whole career. And when I was 10 or 11, I found alcohol, and it was a lot easier to get. You could steal it everywhere, and it did the same thing. When I drank it, it made me not me. My shoulders relaxed. I could take a deep breath. I could do whatever I wanted. I could talk. I could not think about anything. I could sit in the corner by myself. I could be in the middle of people. It didn't matter. It made me me. It was a solution to everything in my life. You know, alcohol was fun. Drugs were fun. Everything was fun. It was all a blast. It was very dark. It was very fun. I got to be who I wanted to be around girls. I got to be who I wanted to be around guys. It made me not give a fuck about anything. And I love that. I still like not giving a fuck about anything, but I have another solution now. So what alcohol did to me was, you know, in step one that we talked about last week, my life became unmanageable. And that wasn't everything I gave away, because I gave away my family. They weren't there anymore. When I came home from work and my kids and my wife were gone, that did not make me want to stop drinking. I don't even think it crossed my mind. I continued. I was by myself to do it more. I lost my love and my care and my feeling of everything in the world. My last February 14th, I took my last drink. February 15th, 32 hours later, the best thing I can come up with to live without alcohol in me is to put a gun in my mouth and pull the trigger twice, and it didn't work. You know, for the first time in my life after that experience, I felt like I was here for something. There was a purpose, and I wanted to find it. You know, right about then, the 12th step of Alcoholics Anonymous came in my life. Someone came and kicked in my door. I hadn't been at work. No one had talked to me. And he gave me a big book. And on the cover of the big book was, "Mike, the answers to our problems can be solved. I love you." Now, he didn't push the big book on me. He didn't push God on me. Didn't do anything. He told me, "Why don't you read it and see if you can relate to it? And if you find it interesting or something, give me a call. But I'll be back to check on you tomorrow." And that was huge in my life. It's exactly what I needed. I had no one. I didn't even have myself. I was scared with myself. I couldn't look people in the eyes. I had actually broken every mirror in my house because I didn't want to look at myself. And I started reading this book, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But for the first time in my life, I was so desperate and so down. And it wasn't even about not drinking anymore. It was about trying to find a way to be alive. I started trying to relate myself into the book instead of out, and it became interesting to me. On the cover of this book, besides those words, was another man's name and phone number. They had given the book to this man, and I recognized him because he was somebody that did the same scummy stuff I did my whole life. And I asked him, I said, "Is that guy really sober?" And he said, "Yeah." Now, at this point in my life, I didn't believe people were really sober. To me, AA was a group of people that got their shit together during the week, and then on the weekend they drank, and that's what sobriety was to me. I didn't know people spent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week sober, and I wouldn't know why you'd want to. And that worried me a little bit, because what was I going to do for fun? What was I going to do to talk to people? What was I going to do at work? I didn't know. It was a whole whirlwind of I don't know. So I called this man, and he immediately met with me. He took me to meetings, and he started reading the big book with me. And he read it to me, not out of opinion, but for what it said in black and white. The first thing he did was open that book to that blank page. And he said, "Mike, what's that page got on it?" And I said, "Nothing." And he said, "What's that mean?" And I said, "I don't know." And he said, "That's what you know about yourself. That's what you know about alcoholism. And that's what you know about Alcoholics Anonymous." And that resonated with me. All these questions I'm searching for, I need to clear them. Everything I gave away in my life, I need to clear it. And that man knew I had one obligation at that point, and that was to learn this book and get well as quick as I could before I died. So that reading out of We Agnostics, that covered a whole lot. And that opening paragraph, it says, "If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot entirely quit entirely," and that's stay stopped. That's not stop for a month or stop a year. That's quit entirely. "Or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic." That's the definition of an alcoholic. As stupid as that may sound to some people, I never would have thought that was the definition of an alcoholic. You know, I was a drug addict. I was perfectly cool with being a drug addict, and I never could relate to being an alcoholic. And that's what was going to lead me to my death. You know, I thought an alcoholic was the bum under the bridge with the brown bag that didn't work. And hey, I worked. I was always successful. I had a nice house with a nice white fence and a boat in the driveway and vehicles. You know, there wasn't any family inside anymore, but hell, I'm a winner, right? But that's all it was. And I remember reading that and being like, damn, that's crazy. Like, maybe if I would have read that earlier, but it wouldn't have mattered because I wasn't to the point where something like that would matter to me. "If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness, which only a spiritual experience will conquer." You know, right before that paragraph, or that part of the paragraph, it also tells you what they've been doing for the previous 44 pages. "We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and non-alcoholic." And they're doing that for a reason, because this is Alcoholics Anonymous. There are a lot of people that don't need to sit in Alcoholics Anonymous because they don't need a spiritual experience to stay alive. Are they welcome? Yes, they are. Is it cool that they're sober? Yes, it is. But they've got to explain to you what it is if this book's going to make sense. Because if you're an alcoholic, you got to grasp onto every word it says. And then it goes into the next paragraph. This is always such a fun one to read when you've got the atheist sharer in the room, because it basically tells you every one of us was somewhat of an atheist or agnostic when we came in here in some bit of a way, but you can't still be like that to be Alcoholics Anonymous, or you're going to be doomed to an alcoholic death. And I love how matter of fact this book always puts everything. It always gives me great promises, and it always gives me horrible promises if I don't pay attention. So this is the first time in the book where it really tells me you might want to change your viewpoints on God, or it ain't going to work. You're going to be right back to where you came in this program at. It also tells us it's not difficult. Later on, I have a line highlighted, "But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else." Our human resources marshaled by the will were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power was our dilemma. And I love it because it always tells us what it is. It asks us a question, and then on the next line, it answers it. It's like, lack of power, this is our dilemma. Where are you going to find it? Oh, right here. This is what we wrote the book for. The whole book they wrote. "Exactly what this book is about. Main object is enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem." So what I learned later on is that if I find this power and I accept this power and I give everything to this power, it is going to solve my problem. It is going to make me a recovered alcoholic. I don't have to live in a life of recovery fearing alcohol. I don't think about alcohol anymore. Maybe when I'm talking in these meetings a little bit, but it's just not that big of a deal to me. I stopped by the other day to pick up some beer for some guys at work to give to them because they're doing a good job and that's all they wanted was beer. And I said, fuck yeah, I'll go get it. No problem. I can sit there while they drink it. It doesn't bother me. And that's what it's supposed to do for you. And by recovered, you know, it tells us at the beginning of the book, we recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. Because in the step before, we talked about this three-part illness. I've got an obsession of the mind. No matter what I do, it's going to lead me to alcohol. If it's a good day, I'm going to drink because it's good. If it's a bad day, I'm going to drink because it's bad. If it's hot, I'm going to drink to cool off. If it's cold, I'm going to drink to warm up. I'm going to end up drinking, and I'm not going to know why. And then once I put it in me, I have a physical allergy. It's not going to quench my thirst. I can't drink just one. It's not going to happen. And if I do, I've been out designated driving for people before where I set a 3-drink limit. So I got the 3 strongest drinks I could find, and I sat there pissed off about it the whole night. Just pissed off. Could I stop at those 3? Yeah, I could. Was I happy? No. And that's the same thing when you remove alcohol. I don't have any solution. I'm worse than I was before. Then we have a spiritual malady, and this is when it starts getting in heavy with us about our spiritual malady and who's going to solve that problem. And that's all I got. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Dan, and by the grace of God and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and recovered to what? Because if I've recovered from something, that means I'm going to somewhere. Where have I come to? A hopeful state of mind and body. Man, oh man, is it good to be in an AA meeting tonight. I would rather be nowhere else in the entire world right now. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your service tonight, for chairing the meeting. And Mike, thank you for starting us off and kicking us off. My sobriety date is May 13th, 2020. Yes, I did get sober online in the middle of the pandemic as the result of the power of this program, which can, in fact, in my experience, transcend time, space, and technology. Yes, yes, yes. I have a home group. My home group is the Sandbridge Group. We meet on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock at the Sandbridge Community Chapel. We are a big book study. I have a sponsor. My sponsor knows he's my sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor. His sponsor has a sponsor, and it goes on above that. I am in a profoundly grateful position to sponsor other people in this program. And by sponsor other people in this program of Alcoholics Anonymous, that means that I read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous with those people, and I take them through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as they are clearly described in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love this program. I love this fellowship. I'm so grateful to be here. I do have to comment on the way that I'm dressed tonight. Whenever I'm asked to speak or be of service to the fellowship in this way, I love to wear a nice button-up shirt and a tie, not only out of reverence for those who have recovered before me, who paved this path for me to simply walk, but wearing this also reminds me of the times that really were not that long ago when I could not make the choice to sit online in a Zoom meeting at 7:22 on a Monday night wearing the clothes that I'm wearing. My choice is already made for me, and that choice was for me to drink myself into a state of oblivion. When I'm in the grips of my active alcoholism, my goodness, I love alcohol. Actually, in my recovery, I still love alcohol because it brought me to the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. But when I'm out drinking alcohol, all I can say is it relieves me of the bondage of self, and it does for me what I cannot do for myself. It makes me the most beautiful person in the room. It makes me the smartest person in the room. It makes me the funniest person in the room. And you don't want to hang out with anybody else when I'm drunk. I'm the only friend that you're ever going to want or need. Believe me, honey, we're going to kiki for hours and have a good time doing it until you find me at the end of the night crying and clawing my way to some semblance of some kind of feel. Anyway, I say that to say that in the end of my drinking, one of my favorite pastimes was trying to pull people in to get as wasted with me as I wanted them to get so that they would cry along with all my woes and worries with me. I mean, that's my idea of a good time when I'm in the full and complete grips of my alcoholism. but truly, I loved everything that alcohol did for me until what it did to me caught up with me. And what it did to me was bring me to the point in my life where I felt like life was no longer worth living. And I devised a plan to get as wasted as possible and take my own life. After making that decision on the evening of May 12th, 2020, I called my brother essentially to tell him what I was going to do. And after I got off the phone with him, I went to the freezer and I poured out every drop of liquor that I had in the house. I was house sitting for a friend at the time up in Richmond. I was all alone in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, go figure, you know, house sitting for a friend. So what is there to do but drink? You know what I'm saying? So I went to the freezer, dropped out every last bit of alcohol I thought I had. And then I thought, what the heck am I going to do now? What did I do? I scrounged around and find what other booze my friend might have been hiding in the house. So then I proceeded to drink every last drop of that through that night into the next morning, in which, it was at that point that I was truly, truly, truly dry, nothing left to drink. So out of despair and fear, I called a friend of mine who's not an alcoholic, and she just listened to me cry my heart out about how miserable I was and how depressed I was. And she said, well, look, it sounds like if you want to stop drinking, Dan, you need help. You can't do it alone. I believed her. So I, right after getting off the phone with her, called a mutual friend of ours. She gave me this friend's number. And this is a guy who was in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous for 30 some odd years. There's like mythical rainbow unicorn people in recovery that I almost still hesitate to believe that they've been sober for that long. He was one of these mythical rainbow unicorns. So I called him and he just listened to me cry. I'm telling you, what I love to do at the end of my drinking was cry. Yes. So cry my heart out to him. And he just listened into everything I ever said about myself and my drinking. He just said, oh yeah. Oh, you too. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. And he said, well, look, there's something here that can help you if you want it. I believed him. So that evening on May 13th, 2020 at 5:45 PM, I logged in to a closed meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. They were studying the big book and they happened to be reading chapter 3, a line of which I believe you all probably studied last week. The line, chapter 3 opens with the line, most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. And that broke me. Absolutely broke me. The rest of the reading that they read and studied just was enough to convince me at that time and place and space that I was a truly chronic alcoholic. I could not overcome this drinking problem by myself. And I started asking for help. So I started making calls. I probably made like 5 or 6 calls every single day. Again, middle of the pandemic, all alone at a friend's house. I had nothing to do but go to online meetings and make phone calls. Eventually, I found my way back to the Tidewater area, still making phone calls. I landed myself on the phone with a guy who asked me at the time. He said, so you got a home group? I said, no. He said, you got a sponsor? I said, no. He said, why not? I said, because I heard it was a good idea to shop around for the right home group and the right sponsor. He said, nay, nay, you keep doing that. You're going to drink again. You drink again. You're going to die. So what do you want to do? Again, guess what? I believed him because I was that desperate and that hopeless. I didn't know what to do with myself. I just knew that I was in trouble and I needed help. So I asked him for help. That man quickly read this book with me, this book, The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. He rapidly took me through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the simple spiritual program of action that it is. And guess what? I instantly started getting results. And that's when it clicked. All it takes for me to get results in this simple spiritual program of action is take action. I love, love, love the title of this group. It took me about a year to finally get it, but the title of this group is Simple Actions. Oh my goodness, this program is a simple spiritual program of action. So if I want to get better, I got to get off my tushums, stop relying on my old ideas, get out into the world, do all the things that I never want to do, meet all the people that I don't want to talk to, and start loving my goddamn life as I do today as a result of this program. This program is amazing. I could talk about it forever. This reading starts with two words, we agnostics. favorite word, we, because this is a we program. It's a we fellowship. I certainly cannot do it by myself, nor at this point do I ever care to. We agnostics. I have to break this word down. There's a word in the word agnostic, gnostic. What does gnostic mean? It means knowledge, right? Or information. I throw an A in front of that word and it becomes a new word, agnostics. That word means without knowledge. Now, my sponsor started me off reading this book on the blank page, which shows me very clearly that I know nothing. I know nothing about myself. I know nothing about alcoholism. I know nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous. So in that mindset from the blank page, or what some of you might know as the set-aside prayer, as I'm approaching this chapter, I recognize that I myself am without knowledge. That's all agnostic means, right? So approaching this chapter without knowledge, I identify in even more with that word we, and I'm not alone. So this starts off in the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. Perfect. What I've learned about alcoholism at this point is that there's something going on with my body. When I consume even a drop of alcohol, my body reacts differently from normal men in that it manifests the phenomenon of craving, meaning I only ever want more booze, never less. It also tells me that, so that demonstrates to me that when I start drinking, I'm in trouble physically because I can't stop. So I cannot safely physically consume alcohol ever, right? Before this chapter, the big book is also very clear in sharing with me that the main problem of my illness centers in my mind, because what happens for an alcoholic like me when I stop drinking, when I remove the physical substance of alcohol, I become miserable. What Dr. Silkworth calls irritable, restless, and discontented. Yes, yes, yes. Nothing is good enough. Everyone is stupid, and I hate my life when I just remove alcohol from my system. So my mind demonstrates to me time and again that I cannot safely stay sober. So now I'm in a real funk and a real pickle. My big book helps me understand that I can't safely drink because of the physical condition, and I can't safely stay sober because of my mental condition. So what the heck am I supposed to do? Well, thank goodness this book is full of clear-cut directions written in black and white that I don't have to question and or worry about. At the end of my drinking, when I was starting my program of recovery, the program of recovery. I try to abandon that little old idea. It's not my program. It's not your program. We have a program, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So as I started working the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, oh my goodness, see, I'm like all over the place. Anyways, let me back up. Let me slow down a little bit. I'm in a real funk, right? As I'm starting the program of recovery, I can't safely drink and I can't safely stay sober. And like Mike said, like he pointed out, this book is very clear. It tells me, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer, right? Well, how the heck am I supposed to have a spiritual experience? Thank goodness on the next page, this book tells me that that's what this book is about. Its main object is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. And what is my problem? Not only my drinking, my problem is also myself. It's my mind, right? And the paragraph before it says lack of power. That was our dilemma. Very interesting, very curious that it doesn't say that drinking is my dilemma. Nay, nay. It says lack of power. That's my dilemma. So we had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. And then it uses my favorite sassy word, because the more acquainted I get with the big book, the sassier it becomes. It says, obviously, but where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's what this book is about, right? Because I did the whole thing where I was trying to live by a better code of morals, by a mere code of morals, a better philosophy of life, right? My spiritual journey took me from Catholicism to atheism to Wicca to Buddhism to just trying to be a good person. And guess what? For me, none of those things kept me sober. Not a single one of them, no matter how much I applied myself to them. So for me, and my story is absolutely true, that a mere code of morals and a better philosophy of life, they proved to be insufficient to overcome alcoholism. The only place I can say that I've honestly found the thing which has kept me sober is in this book and in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. This book for me absolutely showed me how to live a life without booze. Because when I was, when I stopped drinking that morning of May 13th, 2020, I felt like I was in a life sentence of sobriety, a prison, right? How the heck am I supposed to live without booze? This book is going to continue to show me how in the pages following this. Anyways, let me not talk myself dry.
Thanks, Dan. Okay, we're going to go to page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's approach, another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Mike?
Might just shut up and let Dan talk. I love hearing him talk. All right. So the paragraph right before this, I think, is highly important. It tells us that we found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. You know, that's what I think gets long lost in our program, the speed at which this can occur. Right. That doesn't tell me any length of sobriety. It doesn't tell me any time I got to sit in these rooms. It tells me as soon as I become able to express even a willingness. That doesn't mean I've got to believe in God. That doesn't mean I've got to trust in God. That means I've got to show one little bit of willingness that maybe something's bigger than myself. And that's really not that hard to do. Simple program of spiritual action, right? The line she started off with, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. You know, I talk to a lot of men in the program, a lot of new people, a lot of old people, and, you know, everybody always kind of, 90% of the people, their conception of God, from what I've heard, is like the picture of Jesus with the thorns on his head up there, and which is funny to me because that's not even God, that's Jesus, right? But that line struck me hard. Because when my sponsor was working with me in this program, that's kind of where my head was leading me. And then I was all over the place. And then I was like, God has forsaken me. You know, look at my life. You know, this is God's fault. And I mean, I still knew there was a God. I maybe thought he wasn't my best friend. But I knew somewhere deep inside of me there was something more powerful than me. That's not a hard pill to swallow. Now, when my sponsor said, guess what? I'm never going to ask you what your conception of God is. And you're never going to ask me what mine is. Because quite frankly, I don't give a shit what you believe. I just need you to believe in something better than yourself. That's what really hit me. Because I said, man, I'm not going to be in this program explaining to people what my conception of God is. And I'm not going to be worried about what Dave Francis's perception of God is. I just got to have one. And it can be anything. And I can tell you, it has changed so much as I bared all the fruits of this program, right? By expressing that willingness, some of my fears were lifted. It gave me a little more courage to go on with these steps. It gave me a little more courage to read deeper in this book. Just like it says, as soon as I did that, I'll commence to get results. And, you know, looking back, maybe I didn't know that at the moment, but I know it now, and I see it. When I get to work with a new guy and the minute that light bulb turns on that, you know, just coming out of rehab and getting out of jail and, you know, shaking and spitting on the table like I was, that his life running the show is not that great. The minute he figures that out, on the outside looking in now, it's like almost comical because we've all been there. You're like, dude, there's got to be something better than what you're doing. But, you know, we've all been there. But that's a pretty bold statement. And then after it goes down, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. So I'm going to get something off this, right, real quick, and I may not even know it. For me, it was the power to move forward, a little bit of fear dropped, a little bit of the weight off my shoulders. But then it tells me that ain't going to stick around. We got to keep going. That's what I love about this book. It always tells me what I got to do next and what I got to do to keep what I've got going for me. Dan, I'm going to let you go. You're talkative tonight.
Always, Mike. Thanks. This first line that we read, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Thank God, because I don't like your all's conceptions of anything. I'm a selfish, self-centered alcoholic. I don't want to hear your ideas. You're wrong about anything anyways. So this is a point where in my recovery, I actually get to be as selfish as I want to be. The only time that the program allows me to be this selfish, right? I get to come up with my own conception of God. What? Blowing my mind. Okay, I get to be as selfish as I want to be here. And this is what I like to explain to the people who ask me for help in this program. We're going to use the word God, whether we like it or not, because we need in this fellowship, which is unfortunately becoming more and more fragmented and fractured, we need a unifying language. We need a way to be able to communicate with one another if we want to stay sober in the solution of Alcoholics Anonymous. Coming into this program, I needed something, anything other than the way that I was living. My alcoholism, my drinking brought me to a place of desperation and willingness where I was easily able to cast aside my old ideas, which were only seeking me sick, in favor of a new idea, a new way of life. So I like to explain to my sponsees that we're going to use the word God because it is a part of the unifying language that Alcoholics Anonymous, those people who have successfully recovered before us, have handed down to us, right? Because it clicked finally at some point in my recovery. I'd been going so long in my life trying to figure everything out, trying to figure it out, trying to put all the pieces together. At some point, it clicked that in this program, I actually don't have to figure anything out because the path has already been paved before me. It's already been walked thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of times before successfully. All I have to do is follow suit with all the desperation that I ever sought in my drinking to get booze, right? If not more. And that's exactly what I did. So anyways, thank goodness, bringing it back, thank goodness I don't have to consider another's conceptions of God because it's going to be wrong anyways, right? I get to be selfish here. I get to come up with my own ideas. And what I love, the line that it says, we found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. Oh my goodness, thankfully, right? Bill, in Bill's story, Bill says something that I had to meditate on for a while because I was feeling a little bit resentful over it. I'm not going to lie. He said, God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. Speaking of sudden and how rapidly results can come to us if we take the actions, these three words, as soon as, make themselves known and repeat themselves time and again in this book. And I love those three words, as soon as this, then that. As soon as this, we get results, right? So anyways, God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound, Bill says. And that got me wondering, why did Bill get to be so lucky, right? I want to be that lucky, and I want God to come to me in this sudden and profound way, in this electric wind through the mountains kind of way, right? I had to read that line again and again and again. And finally, it just clicked. I need to reverse that line, right? Like, why does God come to most men gradually? Oh, because most men gradually come to God. The only thing that's in my way here is me and my own ideas, my old ideas, right? I must remain willing and open to receiving new ideas, a new sense of direction, a new sense of purpose, because mine were never working ever, right? So I just love what this says. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. I want to be quiet because the next reading that we're going to read is so, so, so good. So good. I could talk on it forever. Go, let's read.
Okay, thanks, Dan. So we're going to go to page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Mike?
Oh, Marty, I'm muted. What time do we end sharing here? Just curious.
Like 10 p.m.
What's that?
Go ahead, David.
10 p.m.? I mean, we could stay here.
10 till.
Oh, 10 till?
Yeah, we might go to 7 till today. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So what I'm getting out of this paragraph is I'm getting a little chapter 7 in here, right? We need to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I blah, blah, blah? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he's on his way. So what this is telling me is that as soon as my man that I'm working with can tell me he believes in something greater than himself and he shows that willingness, I need to be a cheerleader for God, right? I need to get him through these steps quick. You think about all the stuff we've read prior to where we're at in the big book right now. You know, Bill was on, he was detoxing in Towns Hospital. Abby Thatcher takes him through the steps while he's detoxing. Has a spiritual experience is good. What happens to Dr. Bob? Same thing. Number 3, Bill D. In the hospital, they grab him up, they take him right through. This is where his structure can be built. This is his foundation, right? As soon as I could spit that stuff out of my mouth, my sponsor rapidly took me through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which saved my life. I had a spiritual experience. It completely changed my mindset, changed my thinking, changed how I viewed the world, changed as I acted as a person. The book tells me I am beyond human aid, right? This group we're all sitting in, I love you, but you're all a group of humans. None of you are going to get or keep me sober. None of you. There's only one thing that's going to do it, and it's God. As soon as a man tells me he is willing to believe, it is go time. I don't have time. We read last time, I can't bring into my consciousness with sufficient force the pain and suffering of a week or a month ago. That's why I go out and drink. That's my mental obsession, right? I can't remember laying in that hospital dying an hour after I leave sometimes. Sometimes maybe it's a week. I do not have time. I am dying of an illness that is determined to kill me. And I get comfortable. I like that. If he had not picked me up and rapidly taken me through right now, I wouldn't have been able to remember that pain. If I sat there for a year reading this book, I'd be drinking or I would have killed myself. That's where I came into this program. By doing this, all the things I said before, the family I gave away, guess what? They're back here living in the house. We all live together and we're happy. I am happy. I get to do everything. I don't have to change people. I don't have to change places and I don't have to change things. Because guess what? I'm never going to have the power to do that. I am not God. I can hang out with anyone, anywhere, anytime. And the book encourages me to do that. If I am on solid spiritual ground, I can go to the darkest pits of hell, pull someone out. And that's my job. That's that purpose I was looking for this program. That's what gives me life. That's the only thing that continues to save my life right now. I can take the 12 steps and I can get better and I can hold it to myself. And guess what? I'm going to be a sick puppy. I was going to cuss, but I cussed too much and I'm not going to be any better. That is what pulls me out of the dark spots of sobriety. Life still happens when I'm sober. And it's that sick and suffering guy that gives me a chance to live. And I have a beautiful life now. I sat in a meeting where people want to promote me today. I came home to a 5-year-old that gave me a hug and was about in tears because he wanted to see his daddy. My dog came and jumped all over me. My wife gave me a kiss. My 2 teenagers, I'd lie if I said they did anything cool. They were both in their rooms on their computers, but they knew I walked in the door. They knew they weren't wondering where I was. They knew I wasn't in a bathtub detoxing off something. And that's what God does for people. Thank y'all for having me tonight and letting me share.
Thanks, Mike. You know, somewhere in the big book, the book says most good ideas are simple, right? This book happens to be full of good ideas, and they're all really simple. Because I never want to forget that this program, this book was written for who? Hopeless, dying drunks. Okay. Of course, a program for hopeless, dying drunks is going to be simple. I love the question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as, my three favorite words, as soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way, right? I very simply like to rephrase step two into nothing more than, are you willing to be willing to believe in the possibility of a possibility? Let's make it simple. If you say yes, let's carry on, go through the other, the rest of the simple spiritual program of action, so that we can get you out of yourself to be happy and of service to others in the world. Because just like Mike said, this is a program freely given, freely taken, freely given, freely shared with others. If I don't share the message of hope that I found in Alcoholics Anonymous with the still sick and suffering, then I am liable to drink again. I definitely don't want to do that, because I'm really living and loving up my life today. I'm loving all of you. I love this group. I love this fellowship. I love this program. The best thing that I could ever do today, as my sponsor always reminds me, is get out of my head, including in my head, my ideas about God, which really mean nothing at the end of the day to, you know, if I'm going to be honest, to just be of service to other people, to get out of my way and let God take action through me. If I do that, I get to live every single day happily sober, as I have since May 13th, 2020. It's always a joy to be of service to this fellowship. Thank you all again. Mike, thank you. Elizabeth, thank you. It's so good to be here tonight. I love y'all.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike and Dan. Thanks for your shares. That was our last reading of the night, so we'll move to final announcements. The seventh tradition, which states every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essentially at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also the inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Simple actions is taking contributions via the link that's posted in the chat. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our members, our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hand. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting to connect with any of the folks with their hands raised. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have a question or would like additional information about sponsorship, someone will be available in the Zoom room when we close the meeting. Please stick around and talk with us, or feel free to email simpleactions.net with questions. BJ, can you read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Thank you guys for a great meeting. That was really good. My name is BJ. I'm an alcoholic. This is from A Vision for You from the Big Book on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.
Thanks, BJ. Malcolm, you have your hand raised. Do you have an announcement?
No, I'm sorry. I forgot to take it down. Sorry about that.
Okay. Thanks, Malcolm. Okay. Thanks for everyone who has participated this evening. I'll now give everyone the ability to unmute themselves to participate in the Lord's Prayer and give everyone a chance to say thank you to our speakers. All right. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Mike, Dan, come back next week, okay? All right? Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Dan.